A covenant is not just something said by two people that they are not willing to keep. And good enough, the God of the Bible is the God of covenants. Because he wants man to know that when he says a thing, he wants it to be binding. And that's why the covenant that God has made with man, you see through scripture, these covenants, they were given signs. The sign of the covenant will be there. The oath will be given. And most of the times it is by blood. Are we here together, church? Please, I want you to follow me carefully tonight. So you would see over and over again, I try to reinforce or try to reemphasize the reason why some believers are where they are and the reason why certain people will get better results than others. It's a choice. You can decide that I want to get results. I will keep to the terms of the covenant. I will hold on to the terms of the covenant. Because in every covenant, each party has to keep to their path. Are we here together? Yeah. So a covenant is a relationship between two parties. A relationship between two parties who make binding promises to each other and work together to reach a common goal. In every covenant, there will be obligations and there will be commitment. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, we see God entered an agreement with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Many people never knew that that was a covenant. It was a covenant that I will put you on the face of planet Earth. You will extend my influence. You will procreate and extend my influence, and you will be kings and priests all over the face of the earth. That is how I want you to be. And they had an agreement. They were fellowshipping together, and God gave them the terms and the conditions of the agreement, the covenant. He said, you will not eat of this particular fruit. In the day that you eat it, you will die. You will surely die. He told them clearly. And he kept the part of his own covenant. God will visit them in the cool of the day. He will have fellowship with them. He will have interaction with them. He had promised to keep them, secure them. And everything was done. They were never sick. They would never be sick. As far as they were in that covenant and they kept to the terms and the agreements of the covenant, Adam and Eve will never know anything like sickness. They will never know pain. They will never know sorrow. They will never know disease. They will not know poverty. Why? In the terms of the covenant, God made provision for them. So he already made the garden and everything was in place for Adam and Eve. Am I communicating, church? But somewhere along the line, we see that the serpent came somewhere and he deceived the woman. The woman given to her husband to eat, they broke the covenant. And as soon as the covenant was broken, the glory departed, Ichabod. The glory departed from Adam and Eve. They were naked and they saw that they were empty. At that point, Adam started hiding his wife with him. They could not stand God anymore because they had broken the terms of the covenant. And the consequences, the curse that will follow the person who breaks the covenant will came upon them instantly. So the Bible makes us understand that as soon as the covenant was broken, the floodgate of sickness and disease was open. Adam was prone to attack. The animals can now attack Adam. But they were not able to do that before. They will be able to do that now. Sicknesses and diseases, parasites, all manner of virus, everything broke forth on the face of the earth. Why? Because the covenant had been broken. Then God did something very significant. As soon as he saw that had happened, he did something significant. He killed an animal. He did not tell us what it was for. He did not help us to understand anything about blood. The Bible did not explain further. It is because we will go back now and see the precedent. Then we will now tell ourselves that, oh, for him to have taken that animal, there must be a reason. There must, because in the heart of God, without the shedding of the blood, there will be no remission for sin. There must be bloodshed. So somewhere along the line, we think that God just forgave Adam and Eve and say, okay, stay. And no. When he was going to drive them out of the garden and forgive them and still tell them, well, I have not thrown you away permanently, but I will not keep you in this garden anymore. The Bible says he clothed them. They were naked. He gave them clothes. He gave them clothes. And they started going around town like that until we realize another part. We see the covenant God had with Noah, because the sin of man continued to increase upon the face of the earth. Then one day God said that he repented me. That means I feel like I'm regretting that I created man. Look at how these guys are behaving. The Bible says he repented God that he created man. In other words, God came to the point where he started saying, we see a mistake that I created man. What exactly? Of course, we know he has sinned beginning from the end. end. But, you know, everything has to play out so that we can see the mind of God, the voice of God. We can understand what God is saying. So the Bible says that God entered a covenant with a man. Listen to me, child of God. In every generation, God is not after the crowd. God is not after people who are too many. He always wants to get a man. He will pick one person that is willing, and he can use that person to raise a nation. He will always pick one person. And I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice that in your family, you will be that one person that God is going to pick to make a sign and a wonder. I didn't hear your amen loud, the church. God will always pick a man. So he looked around town, and after Adam had given birth to several children, Cain and Abel, we see what happened immediately. The other one killed his brother, and he was asking strange questions. We see Lamech there, and after Lamech, we see generations of those who started misbehaving and doing all manner of things. Then God said, now I will enter a new covenant with another man. So he called Noah. And when God called Noah, the Bible says that God gave Noah an instruction to build an ark so that he would destroy everybody and just preserve this particular race. Why? Because the race had been corrupted. He said, now the sons of God saw the daughter of men that they were fair, and they started having sexual relations with them. And Bible theologians have said that the sons of God here was not just talk, was talking about Nephilims, fallen angels as it were. But the Bible also explains to us somehow that the flesh that they had on the earth at that time was not the real flesh God wanted. It was corrupted flesh. In other words, the flesh of mortals that God made had mixed with flesh of fallen angels. And God said, this will not, if I continue this race like this, we're going to have certain beings that are not the kind of beings I want. So in order to get the kind of beings God wants, he said, let a warning go forth. Let's even see what will happen. So God came around, the warning went forth. Noah did everything. They will never come. They will not come. And at the end of the day, after Noah survived the ark, the Bible said that Noah did a sacrifice to God. And when he made that sacrifice, what did he use? Blood. Please follow me step by step. I'm going to show you some very serious things tonight. And we're going to be praying and taking the communion. The reason why many believers never get results with the communion, why some people even trivialize and laugh and joke and say, what are they eating? Bread and wine. It's because they do not understand the efficacy. And some people say, oh, there's no need for us to even do the sign. What else? Essence. If Jesus commanded us to do it until he comes, there's a reason. I would have spoken much on that, but that's not what I'm going to do. Let's just get our flow. So as soon as evil increased, the Bible says, God saw what Adam, Noah did by killing the animal. And when Noah killed the animal, the Bible says, God smelt a sweet-smelling savour. It was the blood that rose up to heaven. And when God saw the sign of the blood, immediately God looked down to the earth and said, never again, never again. I'm entering a covenant with you, Noah, from today. Mark it to all your generation. It will not be heard in the whole of human race again that I will destroy the earth with water. Child of God, listen, no matter the rain that falls from now, even if it falls for 20, 40, 30 days in Nigeria, I will never be afraid. It will not destroy the world. I will never. Why? There's a covenant. Say, hey, with the rain, this way, rain is going. Everything is going to be swept. Certain houses that were not properly built will be swept. The ones built around canals will be swept. But whether we like it or not, the whole world cannot be swept again by water. Why? God is a covenant-keeping God. Tap your neighbor a little, say, covenant-keeping God. I want you to hold that at the back of your mind because of what I'm about to share tonight. Covenant-keeping God. Let it sink into your heart that he said, my covenant will I not break, nor utter that which has gone out of my mouth. If I have said a thing, I will do it. He doesn't break his covenants. So every time the rain begins to fall heavily and massively, it gets to a point where men's heart begins to fail them. God will raise the sign of the rainbow again and say, men, calm down. I will not destroy the earth with water again. I have said it. It will never happen. That's a covenant. And you know, since how many thousands of years ago that God made that covenant with Abraham, with Noah, till today, have you ever heard that the earth, of course, you will never have heard, you will not have in our life anyway. So we are still in that generation. We are not in a different dispensation. We are here, and there's been rain upon rain upon rain, tempestuous storms, you know, Eurocladons and mighty kind of storms. Yet no one has been able to clear the face of the earth. Why? God has entered the covenant with man that it will never happen. God moved from that covenant and he entered the covenant. When he wanted to change things, evil continued again on the face of the earth. Men are always men and they kept behaving like men. They started doing things. Why? Because in the DNA of man, something had been altered. Sin had taken over the DNA of man. And as a result of the fact that sin had taken over the DNA of man, as far as the total repair had not been done, man will continue to behave like that. So we see a generation of people who started behaving, serving idols. If you read the Bible very well, when God was picking Abraham out of his father's house, he explained to us that all of the Chaldeans, they served idols. They had all manner of idols they were serving in the all of the Chaldeans. So God called Abraham's father and he told him, he said, Terah, get out of this place to a land I will show you. The Bible says that Terah stood, picked Abraham, picked Lot and his family. Please read it very well. You'll be shocked to see that this man was the first person to start that journey. And as soon as he picked his family and he moved on the journey, he got to a particular place called Haran. The Bible said he settled down in Haran. I want to pray for somebody. May you not settle down in a place that God has not ordained for your life. I pray that in your journey with God, in your walk with God, you will get to the finish line. The place where God has ordained that you will enter, there you will enter. So God called him out to get to the land of Canaan. So he got to Haran, probably got comfortable with what he saw in Haran, probably got tired with pressing on with the journey. The Bible said, and Terah settled in Haran and he died in Haran. But because God is a God who had plans, God continued his plan. So one day his son Abraham grew up and was of age. And about that time was about the age of 70 and could make decision by himself and decide. So God came back to Abraham and he tapped him again. He said, Abraham, get thee out of this country. This is not my plan. Your father settled in this place. He could not achieve my purpose. I don't know that person in whose family God had called out someone, but they could not achieve the purpose as a result of challenges of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the pressures, and the satisfaction of their flesh and self. They settled at a low plane. I prophesy in the name of Jesus, as the voice of God beckons on you to raise the bar, I pray you will not be silent in the name of Jesus. You will not be weak in the name of Jesus. You have read in the God's Generals where Amy McPherson told of how God called her mother. It was her mother that was called. It was the woman that was called because she could not fulfill her calling. About to die, she begged God that another generation will fulfill it. May your own generation be the generation that will fulfill the calling of God and bring your family into the place of abundance and bring your family into the place of spiritual awakening where members of your family will not be talking about serving nonsense anymore. Everyone will know God from the top to the bottom. I didn't hear you say a louder amen. So somehow along the line, we see that Abraham now started something different with God. Abraham entered a covenant with God. If we read the Bible in Genesis chapter 15 verse 19 to 10, we see the kind of covenant that Abraham, 15 rather from verse 1 down, you see that God entered a covenant with Abraham. And because in the days of Abraham, I'm going to say a lot of things here. I want you to pay attention to the things that I'll be saying here. In the days of Abraham, they understood what covenants were. And it was a practice that was common in the days of Abraham. So that when a person wants to enter a covenant with another person, they will agree that as soon as we enter this covenant, we're going to have a sign of the covenant, usually blood. Are we here together? And they will have to take animals. And the animals will be split into two. You will have one part of the animal. You will have the other part of the animal. Are we here together, church? So we are going to make sure that there's going to be a way in between. It is called the way of the blood. We're going to make sure that there's going to be a way in between this. What God did with Abraham was a common practice in his days. Because it was Abraham that asked God that he needed a sign. And the only way God was going to make Abraham sure of what he was doing was to ensure that the common thing that you guys do, I'm going to now do it with you. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? So in those days, when they have done the splitting of the animal like that, both parties will stay on one side and the other side. The party that is weak will trade his weakness for the strength of the party that is strong. And the party that is strong will trade his strength for the party that is what? Weak. So all my weaknesses I put on you, all your strength you put on me, both of us will become what? One. Your enemies will become my enemies. My family will become your family. we will agree based on the terms of this covenant that you will not treat me anyhow. Then the weak man will take his weapon, whatever he had as his own weapon, he will give to the strong man. The strong man will carry whatever he has as his own weapon and give to the weak man, and saying that you can use my weapon, I can use your weapon. In other words, you are no longer weak, you are now strong. I am no longer weak as strong. I now take your place. Am I making sense now? So you know that the one who is strong already. It is the one who's weak that needs strength. So he will trade his weakness with this one, and this one will say, I also take your weakness. In other words, when they come to fight with you, I will stand for you. Since I'm a strong person, let's see who will come to you. So you see, usually the covenant will be between somebody who is of lesser power and somebody who is of a higher power. Are we here together? Yes. And when that covenant is done like that, in exchanging of all these things, you also see that they will now go in between the covenants. One person will go and they will make all the oath. They will start saying all the promises attached to the covenant. Then they will declare all the curses attached to the covenant also. Then you will step out. Then the other guy will step in and will declare all the blessings of the covenant and will also speak all the curses of the covenant. In other words, if I keep this covenant, this is the blessing I will enjoy. This is the blessing I will enjoy. This is the blessing I enjoy. If I break this covenant, these are the curses that will come upon me. These are the, you will announce it like that and step out. And after that, they will burn the animals, as it were, as an offering to their God, as a witness. So their God will be the third person in the covenant. So whatever God they served at that point will be the third person in the covenant. So in Genesis chapter 15, look at verse 9 to 10. Abraham was asking God, he said, God, how will I be sure that this thing you are saying, that will make of you a great nation, and you all the families of the earth will be blessed. I will give you the land of Canaan. I will do that and this to you. So God now said to Abraham, he said, okay, since you are asking, that means you're saying we should get into what? A covenant. That's what you're asking for. Because Abraham would not have trusted that beyond a covenant. The highest thing you can trust in their days was what? A covenant. If you just say it, I can't trust that thing you just said. So God said it and Abraham was like, no. This thing you just said, I can't just fall for this. How will I know? So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcass, Abraham drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. Behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and I will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterwards, they shall come out with great what? Possession. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it come to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces, that is the two animals on both sides. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. And what did God say? To your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river of what? The river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Rephaims. The Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Yes. At least the Jebu people know where they fall. Let's go ahead. Is that all? Very good. So God entered the covenant with Abraham that day. And in that covenant, also remember that the name of the lesser person that has no power will be swallowed in the name of the higher person. So the higher person will say, from henceforth, bear my name, because people are afraid of my name. So whenever they hear you mention my name, they will be afraid of you, regardless of whatever your stature is, because you and I have entered a covenant. All that is mine is now yours. Your weapon is my weapon. Your people are my people. Your enemies are my enemies. So if this guy was fighting anybody that terrorized him before, I would join him in battle. And even when the strong one is going for battle, the weak one will say, I'm supporting. So it's a strong agreement that ensures that everything that each party has now belongs to the other party. Am I communicating, church? please follow me. I'm going somewhere. I want to show you the efficacy and the power of what the covenant is. So that as a child of God, when you're walking around the streets of Lagos, Nigeria, anywhere you are around the world, walking around the street, you can walk with confidence and boldness, telling yourself that I know what I am standing on. I cannot die an ordinary person. I cannot live like a weakling. I cannot be a cheap person. Why? Because I am in a covenant. So God entered the covenant with Abraham. Then after he entered the covenant with Abraham, we see a covenant with Moses. Can you see that? The law came, is that not? But it is not totally different from what happened to Abraham, but it was a continuation. It was a continuation. God wanted to build. So he told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 28, you will see the blessings and the curses. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want to show you something, but I need to build like this. Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you don't know the terms of the covenant of the old, then how would you know what the better covenant is? So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1. Is anyone getting what I'm saying tonight? Very good. Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1. Can we read together? Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. These are the terms of the covenant now. If you obey the terms of the covenant, see what will happen to you. Please listen. These things that God has said here, these are the things and the terms and conditions in the old covenant. Today we live in a new covenant, but I want you to understand that if the old covenant can contain this kind of blessing, please, what do you think the new covenant will contain? Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the new covenant is a covenant of better promises. But let's look at this promise. Because some people are not even living in the light of any. And what you believe will determine what you will live. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the what? City. And blessed shall you be in the country. In other words, any country, you will be blessed. Blessed you will be in the city. Blessed you will be in the country that you find yourself. Go ahead now. It says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your head. Now, these guys were farmers. So you can understand that today we're not farmers, but it can apply in the sense that whatever you do will produce. Are we here together? Psalm 1:3 says it. It says, and whatsoever he doeth shall do what? Prosper. The increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. That is your cattle today can represent maybe somebody that is into auto business. Are we here together? Yeah. Property and everything. He said, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading what? Bow. Blessed shall you be when you what? And blessed you shall be when you? Go ahead. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out in one way and they shall flee how? These are the terms of which covenant? Old covenant. And remember, hold it by the side of your hand here, that it says that we now have a better covenant. If this one is not better, please, what do you want? With this one alone, the children of Israel were satisfied. But God is saying there's something better. And somebody has entered the better covenant. I am here to remind you of the realities of the better covenant so that you can live in that reality and not live a cheap life again in the name of Jesus. Can your amen sound louder? Amen. He said, the Lord will command a blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hands. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is what? Giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the people of the earth shall see you. All the people of the earth shall see that you are called by what? And they shall what? Remember what I told you about the name exchange in covenants. So the stronger person will tell the weaker person, bear my name. My name has power, your own doesn't. So take your name off and take my own. That's what happens in a covenant. And God is restating it to them here today. And that's why he tells the children of Israel, he said, you shall be called by the name of the Lord your God. And that's why today in the new covenant, he gave us his name. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a flow that you must understand. Because if you read the Old Testament, it's a shadow and a type of the new. And as you begin to read, you must see the progression. And any light you see becomes your reality. Anyone you fail to see, you can be struggling over a particular thing for several years, whereas there is light. And it's only light that shines in darkness that darkness cannot comprehend. Am I communicating, church? Holy Spirit, help us. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your father to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure. Anytime I get to this place, I feel like I should prophesy to somebody that from henceforth you will start assessing the good treasure of God. I say you will assess the good treasure of God. Child of God, there are treasures and there are treasures. This one is God's own treasure. Like God puts a thing and says, this is my treasure. Then he says, take key, enter, take whatever you want. Child of God, in this season of our lives, as the light of the word of God begins to break forth, you will break forth into God's good treasure. I say you will break forth into God's good treasure. In the name of Jesus. The heavens will give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. Did you say amen to that? Amen. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. It's not part of the discussion today, but I want to challenge you. Please, child of God, listening to me, especially now that all banks and every application is begging you to borrow, avoid it. One of the signs that you are weak, lack discipline, is borrowing. Part of the covenant God entered with his children is that I will train you, you will not borrow. See, just a pastor, is it wrong to borrow for business? I'm not saying you should not, but I'm saying that that is not the standard of God. Anywhere I can say it, that the standard of God for his children, the church, is never to borrow. Every time we borrow is almost a sign that we are not trusting God enough for provision. Because whatever God calls for, he will provide for. It doesn't mean people cannot borrow. Please listen to what I'm saying here. But I'm saying that you must learn on your own to say, Mio, what are you borrowing for? What exactly do you want to borrow for? Somebody who's done a multi-million business is borrowing some money, or bank is coming to beg the person to borrow. When bank is begging somebody to borrow money, it's because they know the person has the capacity to pay. But when you go to beg to borrow, there's a problem. Why will God tell us not to borrow? The book of Proverbs is very clear. He said the borrower is servant to the lender. The rich will rule over the poor. I refuse to submit myself to that. I refuse. Remember, I said it clear. Anybody can live here and borrow money. It's not a curse to borrow, but it's not God's ideal. It's not a sin to borrow, but it's not God's standard. Did you hear what I just said? It is not a sin. It is not the standard of God. Every person who borrows is under pressure. Check it everywhere. They are checking the deadline. They are checking the time. May God bring us to the place in our lives but by the blood of the covenant, whatever we decide to pay for, we will be paying for it fully in the name of Jesus. When we decide to buy things, we will not be struggling in the name of Jesus. May the Lord lift us by the covenant of the blood, whereby he supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory. That by this blood covenant, everything Jesus paid for on the cross of Calvary will move into our account in the name of Jesus. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. The children of Israel understood this thing to a large extent. And a few of them that understood it in a different way, you see the result of their life. I'll show you before we take the communion. Just taking the communion and just drinking and going home doesn't make impact so much in the life of people. Because it is not the wine and the bread alone that changes. It is the understanding of the possibility of the wine and the bread that brings the result. So you must understand, there's a covenant. I'm a covenant child. I'm a covenant. I'm not an ordinary person. I'm not just strolling around the street like somebody who has no direction. I'm a covenant child. The earlier you know, the clearer it becomes, and you start acting that way, the devil begins to give way for you. Because the devil is not afraid of people, just ordinary people in town. No, he's afraid of those who know the covenant and the promises attached to it. For they who know their God. He said, those who do abominable things against the covenant, they will be scattered with flatteries. But they who know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploits.
And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. Child of God, please, I want to beg you in this church. If there is anything that I want to project and say, God, help us to do. Everywhere, at any time you find yourself, there might be giants everywhere. People bigger in that business. People bigger in that field. No matter how big everybody is, keep telling yourself, by covenant, I will be the head and not the tail. And as you are saying it, start walking towards it. You need a training, go for it. You need an instruction, go for it. You press. Don't ever settle for less. Don't stay in an environment and say it's okay for me to just be at the normal. No. The covenant says you will be above and not beneath. Faith without work is dead. The covenant has said it, I will work it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Every excellence you need to put, you put. Every work you need to put, you put. Paul said something very strategic. He said, I am what I am by what? The grace of God. He said, but the grace that was poured upon my life was not in vain. He said, I labor more. Blood of Jesus has been shed, but I will rise and play my part in the covenant. I will do the things I need to do because it is grace that enables you to walk. Oh, you didn't get that. You didn't get that. Did you get it? Grace is supernatural grace that lubricates your life and gives you the ability to do what you could not have done ordinarily by yourself. And not be beneath. If you heed the covenant of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to do what? Observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any what? So you shall not turn aside from any words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Then, guess what? I told you that when they walk in between the covenant, they will say the positive parts of the covenant. Then when they come out, they will also come and say the words, the negative sides. You know, I don't really like reading Deuteronomy 28 from verse 15. Now, the reason I don't like reading it is not because if I read it, it will come upon me. No, there are many curses in the Bible. We read it. As I'm reading it, doesn't mean the curses will come upon you. You get what I'm trying to say here now? But you see, sometimes we need to read it so that it will show us. When you see certain signs and symptoms in your life, you say, these are signs of the curse. It should not be in my life. That's why I read it. So that I look sometimes and I say, what are the things? What are this? What are the curses? Child of God, when I read this thing, I realized that high fever is a curse. Did you get what I just said? Move a little bit. But it shall come to pass. Go. It shall come to pass if they do not obey the voice of the Lord their God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which he has commanded them today, that all these curses will come upon them and overtake them. No, I don't want to read it here like that. He said, curse shall they be in the city, and curse shall they be in the country. Curse shall be their basket and their kneading bowl. Curse shall be the fruit of their body and the produce of their land, the increase of their cattle and the offspring of their flock. In other words, when their animals give birth, they will be well engaged. They cannot move. Their genes will be weak. That's why when Jacob was a man of the covenant doing business, every time Laban did his own, he got weak. When Jacob did his own, he got strong. A man of the covenant. There's always a distinguishing mark between people of the covenant and those who are not. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Laban began to question it. How? What exactly? No. There was no special mathematics. It was a covenant mathematics. It was just that working for him. That after you take this blood tonight and you eat this bread, your eyes will open to the covenant of the blood of better things. And you will start walking in the reality of it in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your louder amen, church. He said, cursed shall they be when they come in and when they go out. That means they will lack favor. When they enter a place, people can say, no, we don't want you here. When they go out, nobody favors them. This is the sign that there is a curse on a person's life when the person has no favor. Nobody ever favors them. And to show you what Jesus came with, he said, the child Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor. That's the covenant sign with God and with men. When you leave this house tonight, everyone that has not experienced high favor, strange favor has not expired. I told you already that is a continuation down to the end of this year and beyond. You will connect with strange favor by the blood. I say you will connect with strange favor by the blood in the name of Jesus. He said the Lord will send on them cursing, confusion. Confusion is a sign that you lack clarity and direction. It's not the will of God. It is part of what happens when the curse is upon people. They are confused. They don't know the step to take. Purpose is not clear. They don't know what to do. confusion. But to show the sign of the blessing, he said, I will lead you in the way that you should go. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walking. Covenant people have direction. From tonight, everyone who has lacked direction before now, I declare that by the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ, the one who knew all things and is omniscient, you have entered the place of no confusion. You have entered the place of clarity and direction. In the name of Jesus. They are rebuking all that they set their hand to do until they are destroyed and until they perish quickly because of the wickedness, blah, 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 blah. Just, you know, many things there. When I read down, you see the other place that talked about high fever and other things, many, many things. Look at this. He said, the Lord will strike them with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, with the mildew. They shall pursue them. Until they perish. Even in heaven, they'll be laughing at us. You these people. Yeah, laugh at us. So we are okay like this. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. What about you? Abraham's blessings are mine. Hallelujah,
Abraham's blessings are mine.
I am blessed.
I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening.
Abraham's
blessings are mine.
So God showed them all those things by the covenant, and he started explaining the negative parts. Let me pick the life of a man. You know, before I just advance in a few things that are coming to my mind this night. One day, a young boy, a teenager, appeared before a giant called Goliath. Please listen. The elder brothers of this boy, all of them were children of Israel, so they had a covenant. And the covenant that God had with Israel is clear, that whenever one chases 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. So what you see in the life of Samson is not a surprise. One should be able to chase 1,000. It's surprising, the reason, because we have not read the terms and the condition. In the covenant that God had with them, one Israelite army can beat 1,000 people. If two of them join together, they can beat 10,000. That's why you see when they go for battle, they don't have to be too plenty. You hear the enemy nation, they'll say the Agagites, the Israelites, and the Ammonites, and seven nations gathered against Israel. They'll just gather. And you will see at the end of the battle, the Bible says, after Israel fought, not one of them fell. Not one. You'll be surprised. I say, the day they fight and two people die, you see them crying as if the whole world has finished. You don't understand? It's not normal. So when they come back and two people, they count. You know, they always count. If you read the Bible, say we counted and nobody was what? Missing. When they go to battle and they count and they see two died, they will start crying. They will say, God, what has happened? Because it is very abnormal. Child of God, don't be comfortable with failure. You can't fail and go and say, we are the other people that failed. Okay, 2, 3, 4. Okay, we failed. God forbid. You must hate failure passionately. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I prophesy over everyone here. You will have no pact with failure. You will have no pact with failure. In the name of Jesus. It is not normal for a child of God to fail. He said, above only and not beneath. You shall be the head and not the tail. So I can't come back and be comfortable and be saying, okay, it's okay. Since we have people that say, we one with God is majority. So don't go and join any pack of failing people. Are you getting what I'm sharing tonight? Until you develop that dissatisfaction and hatred for failure, heaven will pick a signal and say, this one understands the covenant. He knows what he's into. So the young boy stood on this side and they told him that this giant guy had been messing around, and he had an understanding that Israel, they are covenant people, and the token of their covenant is their circumcision. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, so when David stood face to face to Goliath, David was wondering and asking himself, wait, with all the things that they have read and we have learned about. Remember, David usually will recite the Torah. He wrote some of those psalms. Hope you know that. And there are some psalms that are older than David. Hope you know that. David will play his harp and he will recite these things. And every time they recite those things, they usually do Aleph, Bat, Set, the rest of them. They speak all those things over and over to themselves. So whenever David was playing the harp, he would have seen how the father said it, that they should transfer the tradition to their children and tell them how God separated the Red Sea, how God fought their battles for them, how God is the God of covenant. He told Abraham that he must be circumcised. And David will look at himself and all his brothers and everyone. Guys, we are circumcised. And there is a benefit for circumcision. They cannot cut the foreskin of our bodies and we will be in pain at that time and still live in pain in our lives. No, there is a covenant. So he knew. So when he stood before Goliath, David was standing before Goliath there, and guess what? He had to bring the matter of the covenant up. That was what gave David victory. David said, "You have come to me with slings. You have with stone, we with spear and everything." He said, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord my God, the God of the armies of Israel, the one that you defy. Who art thou, O uncircumcised Philistine?" In other words, he said, "Who are you, this guy? You don't have covenant. You are an empty person. Where is the token of your covenant? Goliath, show me, what covenant do you have?" And Goliath was ignorant, bankrupt, looking like a muku. He didn't know that something was backing the little boy. He got so exasperated, he was angry in the avalanche of his fury. He ran towards the boy. And the boy who had the covenant, he knew that it doesn't matter. One will chase a thousand. This guy, you are not a thousand. And I will put you down today. He announced to him his death before the battle started. He said, "Today, I will give your flesh to the birds of the air." And as he was running towards him, the man of covenant ran towards him. Small in stature, big in covenant. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They say, "What did you come with? Who are you? Who gave you the right to submit a proposal and think they will look at your own? Do you know how many proposals are here? Tell them, listen to me. My proposal was concluded several years ago, ratified by the blood of Jesus. I'm a child of the covenant." Can you tell your neighbor, boast in the covenant? Tell your neighbor, boast in the covenant. Some will put their horses, trust in horses. Others will put their trust in chariots. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. He has given us his name. So the name of our God is our name. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? When next they call your name in that covenant, the name of God is showing up there. Whenever they call your name in that meeting, God is showing up there. In the name of Jesus. David knew the power of the covenant. So he did not fight Goliath by size. He did not fight Goliath by right. He did not fight Goliath by experience. He did not fight Goliath by expertise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He did not fight Goliath by multiple exposures. He fought Goliath by the covenant. Listen to me. You need to fight your battles by the covenant. You need to announce to the devil every time. Tell him the Bible says I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of my testimonies. And I testify before this mountain that Jesus paid the price. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes I am what? Healed. I stand before the spirit of death speaking to my ears that I will die. By the covenant it says you shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. That's why the Bible is a book of covenants. New covenant and old covenant. We don't fight with empty words. We fight by the covenant. And the token of the covenant for David was the circumcision of their flesh. And David knew it. That as long as his flesh had been cut torn, there's no devil from the pit of hell with people who are not circumcised that will beat him. And that's why you see the life of David. The Bible says David didn't lose one battle. Child of God, listen to me. He didn't lose the battle not because he was just a skillful fighter. David was fighting based on covenant. Do you know that God even entered a fresh covenant with David again? "I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. I will subdue kingdoms before him." God said, "I will give him the sure mercies." You know what that means? Oh, sure, Bakumawin. The sure mercies of David. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The sure is not a probability. It is never a probability. My success in life is not by chance. My success in life is not a probability. My success was concluded on the cross of Calvary because Jesus paid the price there. I am not afraid of failure. I'm not afraid of what will make the heart of men fail them. You shall keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. That's where my heart is. They say, Akino Gojule, Jeje Sumo Gojule. That's what I put my trust in. Say, you are too confident. Say, why won't I be confident? Why? In this I will be confident. I'm confident that God, who sent his son Jesus to die, paid the price for me. And if he has done it, I have won. Won my battles for me. God of miracles has won my battles for me. I'm a winner man. I'm a winner man. He's won my battles for me. I'm a winner man. I'm a winner man. He's won my battles for me. Say, God of vengeance.
God of vengeance. He's won my battles for me.
God of miracles has won my battles for me. I'm a winner man. I'm a winner man. Yes, has won my battles for me. I'm a winner man. I'm a winner man. He has won my battles for me. Abraham, after that covenant he had with God, the reason Abraham took Isaac to go and kill was not because he was too sure of himself. He was sure in the covenant he entered. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Abraham already knew that if he killed Isaac, God was able to raise him. Oh, Jesus. Let's see that. Let's see that. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 17. Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. In other words, God already told him that your seed will be called in Isaac. Now God is asking for the Isaac. And Abraham had understanding that in this kind of covenant, all yours is mine. All mine is yours. So if you take what is mine, I have what is yours. In reality, listen, church, when Abraham offered up Isaac, in the eyes of heaven, heaven saw that he truly offered up Isaac. It was that betting that Abraham had with God that released Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Listen, it was like a bet. If you give your own, I will give my own. And Abraham said, all that is mine is yours. All yours is mine. So Abraham took his only begotten and said, take. As soon as he did, God said, stop. You to take. And how we got it. That is how we got Jesus. The sacrifice of our redemption. Because one man understood the power of the covenant. I pray for somebody today. Light will break forth upon you, understanding of this power that is in the blood of Jesus, so that sickness will vanish permanently. That spiritual lukewarmness will fade permanently. In the name of Jesus. Look at it. It said, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Did you see it? In a figurative sense, he already received him. He knew that I know what we entered. In this thing we entered, what is mine is yours, what is yours is mine. So that was the mindset with which Abraham went to give Isaac. You know why? Abraham did not negotiate with Sarah. You know why he did not negotiate? He needed not negotiate with Sarah. The day he was entering the covenant with God, Sarah was not there. Sarah was not there. So before Sarah will open her mouth and start saying, my husband, he's not fair. No. Abraham said, concerning this matter, Sarah, you will not know what is happening. And he left. There are certain decisions that you make in life based on covenant. You know that if God has said this thing, he will do it. And tonight I see God doing new things in people's life by the blood. Listen to me. When you take this blood of the covenant tonight, everything that has harassed you, harassed your business, harassed your life, you are telling those things, I'm not coming to you with ordinary eye again. I'm not coming to you with ordinary hand again. I'm coming by the blood of the covenant. The blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. And today, you will see your victory sure in the name of Jesus. I say your victory assured in the name of Jesus. I'm going to wrap up very soon so that we can pray. We're going to be praying today. And as we are taking this blood, somebody is going home and rejoicing in victory. You're coming back with testimonies. Ah, child of God, I say you're coming back with testimonies. Ah, when Jesus came to the face of the earth, from the time he was born until the time he died, he did not break any terms of the covenant. So the Bible says concerning Jesus, he fulfilled all the obligations. The laws of Moses, nobody was able to keep. The blood of goats and bullocks, they were all pouring out. But yet, none of them were able to be perfected by the blood. Is that not what the Bible says? None of them could be perfected by that blood in the old covenant. But Jesus Christ, when he came and walked down the face of the earth, listen to me attentively, church. As he was walking around the face of the earth, all the curses in Deuteronomy 28 down, Jesus carried all of them on himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying, child of God? I want to show you why this covenant is better. All the blessings he released, all the curses he carried. So the Bible says concerning Jesus Christ, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Then the Bible also says that cursed is anyone that hangs on the tree. Are we here together? Cursed is anyone that hangs on what? And Christ redeemed us from the curse of the what? So the curse of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 28, downwards, all those are the curses of the law, the curses of the law. So when Jesus Christ came, he took all the curses of the law, he brought it over to himself. He bore our sins, our sicknesses, sir. He also carried the curse. So that any time as he was hanging on the tree, the Bible says he was called cursed. On the cross, Jesus was called what? Cursed. He was called cursed on the cross of Calvary. The people saw him and they cursed him. They said all manner of things to him. They said everything. He said, so that the blessings of Abraham will come upon us, the Gentiles, by faith. Did anybody get that? Let me show it to you so that you can see it. Let's look at it together. Galatians chapter 3 from verse 13 to 14. Manakoborobo sakadalabaya. If you read that, Deuteronomy 28, I didn't just want, for time's sake, I didn't want to read it. You will see some diabolic things, demonic things. The Bible says when they rise against you like this, when they come against you like this, with all their weapons and their idols and their everything, he says you will win them if you keep to the covenant. And Jesus Christ dealt with everything. Let's look at it together. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to read 13 and 14. One to go. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Listen, the release of the Holy Spirit is that promise that Abraham could not access in his time, but it was given to him as a promise. Said something, somebody didn't get that. If you read this Galatians very well, you see that the Holy Spirit we have today, the Holy Spirit that we have, you speak in tongues, you have the power of the Holy Spirit today, it came as a result of this. That promise, if you read and get through it by context, this promise that he's talking about is not just houses and cars alone. I told us there are material benefits and there are spiritual benefits. The release of the Holy Spirit is a spiritual benefit we have received by the blood of the covenant. So today, you know, without the shedding of the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit would not have come. And if the Holy Spirit has not come, God will not be living inside of us. Today, God is living inside of us because of what? The covenant, the blood. So when Jesus paid the price and he did everything, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that his own is a better covenant. Why? There are no curses attached to his own. He has taken all our curses and he has put everything on the cross of Calvary. So when somebody on the road looks at you and say, Me, I cannot be cursed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I cannot be cursed. It's not possible for me to be cursed.
whom God has blessed, no man can curse. The blessings of the Lord make it rich and adds no sorrow. What I carry is the covenant. So sometimes when you stop on the road and you are fighting somebody that cursed you, you are wasting too much of your time. It's because you don't understand who you are. Have you heard what he said to Abraham? That's what you have. That's the blessing of Abraham. He said, whoever blesses you is blessed. Whoever curses you is cursed. So every time somebody blesses you, there's a reverse of blessing on them. That's why when people come to bless me, I tell them, I don't have to pray for you. Something has happened. Whoever gives a prophet a cup of water in the name of the prophet, receive a prophet's reward. Whoever gives a righteous man, it's revenge. That's so sometimes somebody's saying, man of God, lay hand on me again. I bless me for this seed. I say, listen to me. As the seed was coming, the ground that you put it on bounces back seed into a harvest. You don't need to bother your life. He now told Abraham, he said, if they curse you, they are cursed. So does Abraham need to stand somewhere and start saying, listen to me, I want to curse you now? I told you several times ago, I said, I bless people, I don't curse. Because I don't have to. I don't have to. I don't have to. I don't have to. It's an auto thing. Yeah, it's an auto thing. It's not my fault. It just happens that I carry a shield that bounces back curses. So whenever a curse is coming, it's like a bulletproof. Whenever a curse is coming, it will not hit me. Rather, the shield I carry knows how to bounce back that bullet, and it's going back to that person. So they say, you curse the person. I said, I don't have to say anything. It's finished. Don't go and start fighting your neighbors and quarreling with people in your office. You say, how can they talk to me like that? When they talk, you just smile. Those days when we're younger and we are not yet grown, one of the ways we usually do it is that when they curse you, when somebody says something, you say, God, he can say back to sender, you know. But even as righteous, in our righteousness, then when they curse you, you say, this time when they come because you say, God bless you. How many of us remember that time? We were in our righteousness. When they curse you, say, God bless you. And the person, they bore you and say amen. You cannot say amen. Every time you say that, did you ever hear the person say amen? Never. They can't. Something bounces back, not because you did anything, but because there's a covenant. Everything they spoke to Jesus, he didn't reply. So you will look at that sickness in your body and tell it now. Listen, the man who came back from this midweek service of the blood covenant is a man of the covenant. When I did not know much about this thing, I probably didn't get the result. Now I know better. The Bible says it very, very clear. My people are destroyed because of lack of what? Knowledge. And when you come back with knowledge, you prevail. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our world times. So you're going back home today as a man who understands. So you're going back to look at that challenge and say, covenant man today. The same challenge that faced you before and you were confused, now you are looking at the challenge and say, look at my face very well. Look in between my eyes and see blood. Can you see my eyes? And the challenge you are telling it, from today I command you, lose your grip over my family. Lose your grip over my children. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? You are going back to that thing and telling me to stop because you know what you're carrying. Rise up tonight. By your blood, you crushed principalities. Somebody's taking the blood by revelation tonight. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Say by your name. Raka subrekete rabada la barada la bala. Say Jesus, Jesus, the righteous.
Listen, as we pray, before you got born again, you had your own armor. And I told you that in the covenant, one of the things that happens is that this one will say, take my own weapon and fight with it. And let me have your own weapon. Then as I was reading scripture, it was so confirmed, I saw it. It says, therefore now, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the putting down of strongholds. He said, take on the whole armor of God. Did you see that? So God says now, drop your own. In this covenant, let me have your armor. Which one are you going to fight with now? The armor of God. You can't live here with the armor of God and fail in a battle. You can't fight with the armor of God and be defeated. Are you hearing what I'm saying, child of God? What are you coming with? I'm coming with the armor of God. Look at my breastplate of righteousness. Who gave you righteousness? It was made sin for me who knew no sin. I am now the righteousness of God. I come with my helmet of salvation. Who saved you? Jesus, by his blood on the cross of Calvary, has saved me, and I'm wearing my helmet. I come with the sword of the Spirit. He said, who gave you the sword of the Spirit? It is the word of God by which the heavens and the earth were framed. I can't fight you with the word and you remain the same devil. I finish you by the word. Every single piece of the armor that you are putting on, they are a representation of how God is preparing you for the battle now. So you will never allow anything stop you. You will never allow anyone stop you. You must tell yourself, I can never be defeated. I will never be defeated. No devil anywhere on the face of the earth can stop me. No witch, no wizard, no satanic incantation, no necromancy, no enchantment. He said they were hired to come and curse the children of Israel. But when they got there, Balaam looked at them. He said, I see the shout of a king in their midst. He said, these guys cannot be cursed. These ones cannot be put down. By the covenant of the blood of Jesus today, I declare by the name of Jesus, everything that does not reflect the fullness of the blessing, by the blood as you take it tonight, the fate of your life in the name of Jesus, the fate of your career in the name of Jesus. Amen. The fate of your family in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you live here with an understanding of this light, you are turning back to face the world like a man of the covenant. Amen. As Abraham faced Goliath with the covenant in mind, as Jesus conquered Satan, the one who came to enact the new covenant, and today he has handed over the power to us, and now we are custodians of the covenant. Better promises given to us. You will never have to borrow to pay for house rent again. You will never have to borrow to pay your bills anymore. By the covenant, you are sponsored by the covenant. Can you shout it? I am sponsored by the covenant.
I'm sponsored by the covenant.
Say, who's your sponsor? Say, the covenant. Say, go and provide your sponsor. You want to see Jesus here. And I'll bring him before them, and they'll say, what? What? I beg you, let this light, no matter what the devil is saying around you, always remember that you are a person of the covenant. Always remember, let it stay in your mind. Blood was shed for me. Battered, sicknesses and diseases, now, as this communion is taken, they will disappear by the blood of the covenant. By the blood of the covenant. Fears, before you go home, that thing you are afraid of, it will fade off. You will just realize that everything faded off by the blood of the covenant. By the blood of the covenant. Wherever you are, you're going to be praying right now vigorously in the spirit for the next 1 minute. Everything that the blood of the covenant provides can afford, let it become a reality. In the name of Jesus, everything that the covenant affords, those of us that are online, get your communion wine and get your bread right now wherever you are. We're about to do something very strategic. Get your wine and your bread right now. I pray over all the wine and the bread, those online, those that are here, the same results that we are getting here. That sickness has no right in the body of the covenant man, in the body of the covenant woman. Every high fever disappear. Every cancerous growth disappear. Every tumor disappear. Every shame disappear. Every fear disappear. Just follow the direction of the ushers so that you can have the blood.
The blood of Jesus has set me free from the power of Satan. The blood of Jesus has set me free. The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Don't be in a hurry as you take it. You can take it. You can take it to your seat if you have to leave.
Jesus set me free.
Say the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus set me free. As you are taking it right now, let the blood begin to walk in your body. Let the blood begin to walk in your body. Every virus, every infirmity, every sickness, every disease, whatever represents shame in your life, in your family, by the blood of fellowship, you have entered fellowship with Jesus. 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 No more fear. No more fear, no more fear, no more fear. Rabba de Mosharada da 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 da